text 51551. Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
The issues of physical violence, abuse and threats, including death threats, being made against public representatives has been highlighted recently at home and abroad. Previous studies have shown that many TDs receive abuse on social media, with some saying it's now par for the course of being a public representative. But with the targeting of TD Martin Kenny's car in recent weeks and many women leaving British politics in the current general election, some say there's a more sinister and dangerous element emerging. Well, our reporter Brian O'Connell has an exclusive investigation into the level of threats that our elected representatives are receiving. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Miriam.
Listen, what have you found out?
Well, as you said, this issue is getting significant attention. I suppose nobody is saying that public representatives shouldn't be the subject of passionate debate or scrutiny. I think that's a given. But there have been concerns that there is this more sinister side, as you said, to some of the targeting of public representatives, especially in recent years. Now, you mentioned Sinn Féin TD Martin Kenny's car, which was, as we know, the target of an arson attack just 2 weeks ago outside his family home. We've also, of course, seen protests staged outside TDs homes. And then there was a discussion about this surrounding the Maria Bailey controversy in terms of the level of abuse that she received around that time. And I think it's really come to a head as well in the UK. There was, of course, the tragic murder of MP Joe Cox in 2016 that pretty much sparked a national debate in the UK about the safety of politicians. But more than 20 female politicians have said that they're not going to run in next month's UK general election. Some of them quite high profile, Justine Greening, Amber Rudd, for example, and many of them have cited a rise in death threats, threats of rape, racist abuse as reasons for not standing again. So, along with my colleague Alistair McConnell, we set about asking every TD in Ireland a series of questions around their safety, some of the threats they have received, and then some of the responses we got, I have to say, were quite shocking.
Okay, so tell us, Brian, what you asked them first, and then we'll get into statistics and some of the comments you got.
We asked each TD the same series of questions, and we put these questions to all sitting TDs. So first thing to say, Miriam, is that 54% of TDs responded, and the responses came from a good cross-section of parties. I would say it was pretty representative. Of those who replied, 71% were male, 29% female, and they were all anonymous. Now, we asked them the following questions. Have you received a threat of physical violence via telephone or online? Have you received a threat of physical violence in person? And then we asked, have you received a threat on your life by phone or online? And have you received a death threat in person? And then we asked, has a family member received threatening or abusive messages? And finally, Miriam, we asked whether they'd noticed an increase or decrease in this kind of issue in the past 2 years.
OK, so over half of TDs responded. On the threat of physical violence, either via phone, online or in person, what did they say, Brian?
Well, combined, 69% of TDs who replied said they had received a threat of physical violence either online, phone or in person. So almost 7 out of 10 TDs who responded. Then we came to look at the issue of death threats. Incredibly, 52%, just over half of TDs who responded, said they had received a death threat by phone, online or in person.
I mean, that's truly shocking. So more than half of the TDs who responded said they'd received a death threat.
And that's right. And I suppose while we sent the questions to every TD, 54% responded, but that group was pretty representative. So then when we combine those two questions, Miriam, so the number of TDs who said they'd received a death threat or physical violence threats, the combined total is 72%. So just over 7 out of every 10 TD who replied said they'd received either a death threat or a physical violence threat. One other statistic I think worth breaking down is that 1 in 4, 25%, of TDs said they had received a death threat in person. And then if you look at the male-female split, it wasn't really anything hugely noticeable in most of the responses, except for the death threat in person. It was pretty much on even par.
And moving on to family then, Brian, what did you find out about threats and abuse directed at TDs' family members?
Well, here we found that 37% of TDs who replied said a family member had received threatening or abusive messages or behaviour. The split between respondents, as I said, was 71% male versus 29% female. So 37% said a family member had received threatening or abusive messages.
Now, I know it was anonymous, but you did invite TDs, didn't you, Brian, to comment if they wished?
I thought this part was really interesting because some of them phoned me afterwards and would talk, obviously, off the record. And they were very reluctant to actually respond to the survey because some of them said, we feel it's only drawing attention to the issue. Mm. And many of them talked about how it was almost normal for them to be threatened or abused in some way. And they found it very difficult to speak about it. Some were very happy it was being highlighted and they felt TDs were almost seen as fair game. And they found it quite hard to get Gardaí, for example, to take threats seriously. I would say up about 5 TDs had said to me they'd made complaints and they didn't feel that they were followed up in the way they should have. But I'll just bring you a couple of the comments that TDs gave to me. For example, one TD, Miriam, told me he got a mass card sent to his house with his name on it. Another TD was quite reluctant to talk, but he told me he had several incidents over a period of years and he's had to involve Gardaí. And part of what he's had to do is to make these really significant investments in security in his home. And he said he knows he isn't the only TD who's had to do that. Some female TDs told me they were threatened with rape. Several TDs told me, that, as I said, that they'd reported issues to Gardaí. Some cases are before the courts, they indicated. One TD told me how he was threatened with a shotgun while he was canvassing. One told me how a female staff member was on her own in the office and someone threatened to burn it down with her inside it. A separate TD said he would not leave any member of staff alone in the office anymore after several incidents in the office, including having to call Gardaí. TDs reported having their tyres slashed, and he told me that he had never spoken about this before. One female TD had protests outside her home, and she said she'd never highlighted this publicly because she felt it would only increase the likelihood of protests again in the future. And as I said, many of them said that they haven't reported it or hadn't spoken about it. Alan Kelly, TD, I'll just leave you with this final quote. He was happy to be quoted. He said, I've had abuse and threats to me, my family and the people who I work with and that I'm close to. And these are so standard and common during my time as minister that in a disgraceful way, it became normal. He says, even now as a TD in opposition, there's a level of abuse that still continues. The threshold by which politicians are meant to put up with such abuse and threats by some in society is unacceptable. And he says social media has now added a dimension to this, which at times can be frightening. A lot of the respondents actually had pointed to social media fueling, if you like, some of the issues they're experiencing.
Thanks so much for that, Brian. But what's startling about your research there with Alistair is just it's about threats, it's about death threats, you know, taking to a whole new level of abuse. Thanks for that. And I know you're going to tweet all those headline statistics and some more quotes shortly. So thanks for that, Brian. For reaction to this, I'm joined here in our studio by Catherine Martin, who's chair of the Oireachtas Women's Caucus, and of course a Green Party TD. In our Dáil studio is Maoirse Quinn-Livin, Sinn Féin TD, and on the line, Deputy Anne Rabbitt of Fianna Fáil. Good morning to you all. First of all, Catherine Martin, what do you make of that, of the numbers there?
I suppose it's absolutely shocking. And to be honest, as a politician, it's frightening to the level of threats to ourselves, to our families. You know, as Brian said, as politicians, as elected representatives, you know, we expect robust debate and concrete and constructive criticism. But unfortunately, what has seeped into to our lives now is dangerous, abusive language where, you know, language of threatening violence to us, death threats, threatening violence, you know, sexual violence, violence to our families. And, you know, this is not to be accepted in any walk of life, but I would see this as actually an attack on democracy. We have been elected to represent the people. You cannot have a situation where as we open our front door of our homes, where we instantly start looking over our shoulders in fear. And it needs a response at the highest level. And a lot of this is done under a veil of anonymity. Mm. And that's where cowards thrive. With these threats, and we need to lift that veil of anonymity. It cannot be allowed to win. We need zero tolerance, and every time it happens, it needs to be reported. But we really need to look at how to deal with this. But you know, especially, you know, as chair of the Women's Caucus, it's hard enough to have got to 22% representation. We've 35 of 158. This sort of behaviour, as we can see with high profile figures, household names, Amber Rudd, Nicky Morden, who cited the impact in her family life as one of the reasons she's stepping back. Are we reaching a situation where we won't be able to hold on to the women that we have, never mind attract more? But of course, this is men and women,
yeah, of course,
and our families.
Yeah, absolutely. And that came across in this survey. Maurice Quinlivan, more than half of TDs in the survey had received a death threat. Do you think Maurice's issue is being taken seriously enough?
No, not really. I think it's, you know, it's quite surprising, the numbers there. I wouldn't use the word shocked about it, because I've got a number of them myself. Some of them wouldn't be serious, but others would be. I've reported them to The Guardian a number of occasions. There was two investigations done. Unfortunately, the DPP decided not to prosecute in one, and the other one, there just wasn't enough evidence, although we knew exactly what happened there. That was, as you can imagine, was stressful for myself, was stressful for my family. But look,
Maurice, just let me stop there. In terms of, you know, two real death threats, I mean, in what form would they have come? Like,
well, the first one, well, the second one was to my office, which my constituency secretary took the phone call. That was investigated. And I think, in fairness, the Gardaí did a good job on that one. They did investigate it properly. They identified the person who done that. But the DPP didn't, for whatever reason, he decided not to prosecute that case himself. The other one was I got confidential information myself from a drugs gang in the north side of Limerick. Were planning to shoot myself, and I know that for a fact. The Gardaí did do a good job on that one as well, but there was no arrests in that, and that threat was withdrawn from that by that gang. So look, that, as you can imagine, was stressful for myself at the time as well. I never mentioned both of those publicly. I never mentioned them myself till a colleague of mine actually mentioned them at a council meeting, and he didn't realise that I hadn't mentioned them myself before, and that was the first time they were raised. It was April last year or whatever, and it was the first time I'd ever publicly said that.
But do you think it is being taken seriously enough, Maurice?
I don't think so. If you look at, I think the abuse that public reps are subjected to can be quite stressful every now and again, you know, especially I think social media has an awful impact on it. And I do believe there's a coordinated attack on some of us. If I look at the people, some of the fake accounts, or you see that on Twitter or you see it on Facebook, fake accounts promoting right-wing American ideology, targeting ourselves. It seems to be coordinated sometimes, but there seems to be a sense that you can say whatever you want to a politician. Yeah. And look, I'm strong enough. I don't take it too lightly. I'll defend myself. I wouldn't be afraid of him, but you know, we are entitled to a bit of respect and privacy as well. But look, I stand up for the people in Limerick, and that doesn't bother me too much. But you know, it has become almost our routine that, you know, people can say what they want to you publicly or you know, on social media.
And Anne Rabbit, you know, the statistic Brian and Alistair found, 37% of TDs say their family have received abusive or threatening messages. What do you make of these findings, and what's your own experience, Anne?
Well, maybe I should start with my own experience first, Marion.
Yeah.
I suppose in the last 3 months, I have come under a particular attack. One was in relation to one night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got a phone call, and I actually thought it was my young son ringing me. He was staying with his aunt, and I just thought he was ringing, so I answered the phone, and the caller said, "You need to back off." And I said, "Pardon?" I actually still said, "Fearco, is that you? What are you saying?" And it goes again, "You need to back off the lines. And we know where you are and we can get you." And Marion, I'll tell you, because you aren't in your work mode, you're asleep, your defence, your guard, everything is down. So you're totally exposed. And that phone call that possibly lasted less than a minute actually shattered me for weeks after that. That's all I can say about that.
And did you try to trace that caller, out of interest?
Absolutely, of course you did the next day. But you know what, Miriam? I couldn't believe how upset and how taken aback I was, because I'm a fairly strong woman.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe how it had knocked me for six that somebody had actually invaded my very private space, like, you're asleep.
Yeah.
And they said they would come and get you, and we know where you are. So straight away, my family, I felt exposed for my family. Like, I've gone into political life because I've chosen that. But that's not what, I don't expect my children to be exposed or anything else like that, or my family. So that's where we'd gone over the line. And at that particular time, I suppose we had the beef strikes were taking place on the picket line. So that's what it was in reference to. And only for, I moved out of my house, Miriam. I moved and I lived with my first cousin for a week. The kids didn't know why we were going down there every night. It's just that I felt so uncomfortable, okay? But like as Maurice said, I believed in what I believed in for the farmers that were on the picket line. I spoke very clearly to Owen Donnelly of the beef plan, and they stood with me and they gave me great encouragement, and I kept me going, okay? But in the last 2 weeks or last 3 weeks again, I got another call at 12 o'clock at night. I should learn and I should stop answering the phone late, but I just answered because I'm a public rep. So if it was heavy rain, it could have been flooding, it could have been anything. And I got a really abusive call as well that same night. And do you know what? some people have no filters. They don't know where to stop. And as during the day, you can take an awful lot of it because you've nearly come to accept that as the norm. People say whatever they want to say to you. But when it encroaches on your children, and when your children see what's going on Snapchat, and where they're being targeted, and where about their mother talking about, parents, please talk to your children, a Facebook post that went viral. My youngest 14 and a half year old got blocked off an awful lot of her friends' Snapchat accounts because mummy said, talk to your children. So it's really, really difficult being a mother and being a public rep and trying to mix it all, business and family life.
I mean, there's something, I'm just going to bring some reaction from our listeners who I think are quite taken aback by the findings in this investigation. One says there's something wrong with politics in Ireland if over half of current sitting TDs have received a death threat, and people wonder why young people aren't getting involved in politics. Another says, who's making these threats and why? This is shocking. What are they trying to achieve? Another says, hearing the survey results and listening to the TDs talk reminds me of how some have said the threats against the Quinn management weren't taken seriously enough until that awful assault was committed against Kevin Lunny. I'll take one more. I've no time for anyone who would threaten anyone, but politicians, they are elected to represent the people, and when they are seen to be representing bankers, landlords and running down healthcare, it can easily be seen where anger starts. Tom, I give that to you, Catherine.
Yeah, and as I said, you know, we expect robust debate and criticism, but this is about threats to our lives and threats to our families, and that needs to be eradicated. It can never be tolerated. It needs zero tolerance. You know, it really goes back to basic decency, respect, kindness, what we are known for in Ireland. You know, we can't lose hold of that, and it can't be replaced, or we can't let the language of hate or threatening language take hold, because we are a kind, decent, respectable country, you know, and I'm very proud of that, and I'm very proud of my own constituency and to be Irish. So, you know, we have to look at how to fix this and how to stamp it out. We need to look at maybe we need to look at setting up some sort of task force, a specialised training. We need to look at social media, like the algorithms are set up there. They see your the way you're thinking as an individual, and they do tend to lead you towards a more extreme or polarised view. And we can see in recent days, Helen Dixon, our data protection commissioner, saying she didn't get the resources she needs. You know, we're in a situation, you know, where that social media is where a lot of the anonymous trolls are.
Begin. Yeah. And maybe on that point, Catherine has made Maurice Quinlivan. I mean, we focused in this investigation on the serious level of threats as opposed to, you know, the widespread abuse that so many people got used to in social media. But perhaps that widespread abuse, it leads to an increase in more serious incidents like the aggression, like the burning of your colleague Martin Kenny's the other day.
Yeah, I think you're correct in that. Look, we're very lucky to live in a democracy that we do. And, you know, as TDs, we're very open to people. People can meet us. You know, we have a constituency clinic once or twice a week. We'd be at a lot of events. I know in other countries, public reps wouldn't be as accessible. But I think in the last number, maybe the last number of years or whatever, social media especially has been a contributing factor to maybe embolden some people who wouldn't, you know, they hide behind fake accounts, they hide behind fake Twitter accounts, Facebook accounts. But it does lead, I believe, into this whole scenario that, you know, we're fair game. And as I said earlier, I don't mind robust debate, I don't mind robust arguments, and I don't mind debating with my colleagues or opposition, whatever. But, you know, it does go to another level when people start to threaten yourself. And I heard my colleagues there talking about threats to their family and friends or whatever. You know, it was very stressful. I know in my office when my secretary assistant got the call a number of years ago, very, very stressful for her and the team as well. And like, I run a constituency office, but I don't let one person ever to be on their own. So we always have people helping in. So we wouldn't, because of incidents that happened. So it would be a case of you wouldn't actually, you know, you'd have to be very, very careful. And I think more needs to be done. I think the Kieran Corley needs to look at these figures. I'm not shocked at them, but, you know, it'd be surprised when you see them in black and white, but I wouldn't be shocked at the stats there, because it's what I've experienced myself when I was a councillor, and now that I'm a Chocolate Dollar, it's exactly the same.
I'm going to leave it there. Thank you to you all, to Catherine Martin, to Maurice Quinlivan, to Anne Rabba. Thank you for taking the time to chat to us this morning. We'll take a break.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.